Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to be dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning. His raiment, white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Let the church say amen. Amen. Our Father, we pray for help today. I pray, God, that you'd cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Lord, we're not here because we just want to show our face. We're here because we want to see yours. So help us. Do a great work. Open the pages of Scripture and let us see you for who you are and leave here changed. We love you. We thank you for being God. If there's somebody in the building that doesn't know Jesus, help that person to come get washed in the blood today. We love you. Thank you for being God. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Most of us, if not all of us, are familiar with the crucifixion story. They've made movies about it. Every year around this time, you'll see it played on television. It was on last night. Hollywood and writers, directors, and actors will try to do their best to depict the crucifixion story. Truth be told, nobody can tell it like God did. Thank God for the Bible. It's in the Bible that we find an innocent man was mocked. An innocent man was ridiculed. An innocent, sinless man was slapped, beaten, whipped, crowned with a crown of thorns. What did he do? He came to love on people. Not just any people, sinners that we all are. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. For 3.5 years, this man had done like no other man had done. When he walked up on John the Baptist, who was the most famed preacher of that day, John stopped what he was doing, turned his attention, and all those that were with him to that man. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins, not of the select, but of the world. This is he. John said, I'm not worthy to unbuckle his shoes. He must increase and I must decrease. And then Jesus asked John to baptize him. John thought, you should be baptizing me. I shouldn't be baptizing you. But he was setting an example, wasn't he? And they went down into the water. And as he went down into the water, God the Father spoke from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Holy Ghost of God descended like a dove. And we saw the triune God right there at the baptism. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You see, the ministry of Christ was about to begin, something that the world had never seen before and they would never see again. The God-man came to earth. He would approach lame men, and when he left, they were walking. He would talk to dumb men that couldn't speak, and when he left, they were talking. Men that were blind for years from their birth received their sight. Those with withered hands had their hands restored. Those that were debtors were forgiven. Those that were lepers whom nobody would touch were healed of their leprosy. He would go up to someone dying of a fever and cure her fever. A woman with an issue of blood for 12 years just touched the hem of his garment and she was healed instantaneously. A man hanging out in the dens in the caves who was possessed with so many demons you couldn't count them. When he saw Jesus, fell at his feet. Jesus cast the demons out. He was sitting clothed and in his right mind. And that 12-year-old girl who had died, Jesus approached her and said, Talitha kumai, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And she got up again. He would take a little boy's lunch with 5 loaves and 2 fish, feed 5,000 men beside women and children. He would walk on the raging sea. He would calm the raging storm. He would say, peace be still, like nobody else could. He could preach like nobody could. He could heal like nobody could. He could tell a parable like nobody could. There was something special about this man. Nobody had ever been like him, and nobody else would repeat what he did. He was the Savior of the world. He came to seek and save that which was lost. His name is Jesus. And then they took him and they killed him. The mob that he came to save ordered his execution. Pilate couldn't find a fault in him, but he washed his hands of it and ordered him dead. What a tragedy. The devil must have been celebrating. I got him. I tried to get him in the wilderness, and he ran me off with scripture. I tried to tempt him at all points, yet he not only would not sin, but he could not sin because he was God. I tried to shut him down. I tried to kill him as a baby, but Herod failed. I tried to shut down the bloodline all the way from Adam until Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But somehow God came up with ways. When Cain killed Abel, God got Seth. When the world was wicked, God found Noah. And on through the bloodline, when it seemed like those would die off, Rahab was spared in Jericho. And somehow the line stayed open. The devil couldn't shut it down. He got born. He walked for 33 and a half years. Now I got him. We'll kill him. We'll guard the tomb with Roman soldiers. We'll put a large stone in front of it. So not only can he not get out, but nobody can get in to steal his body. And the devil must have sent his man corruption down to the tomb. Death had already won. And corruption was supposed to go down there and relieve death. One day passed. The devil phones down to death. Has corruption showed up? No, his body's still not corrupted. Oh, hang on there, death. Corruption must be running late. He'll be there in a little while. Maybe he got stuck in traffic. After 2 days, the devil phones down to the grave again. Death! I want to know, has corruption shown up? No, boss, I've been watching for him. I've got everybody on the lookout for him. You said he was supposed to be here. I haven't found corruption yet. Do you remember that David said, thou will not suffer thy soul to see corruption? In other words, the body will go in the grave, but it won't start to dematerialize. It won't start to corrupt. Why? Because he don't have time to be doing no corruption. He's going to get up in 3 days. Now watch it. So the devil calls and says, are you sure he's not there? Well, wait a couple more hours, and just maybe corruption's going to show up. He promised me he'd be there. A couple more hours later, the devil calls down to death and says, has corruption shown up yet? No, sir. I've been looking. I promise you, he's not here. Surely if he showed up, I would have spotted him. And about that time, I guess the devil said, well, I've got to go down there and guard that tomb myself. It doesn't look like corruption's coming, so maybe I'll go down there and guard the tomb. So the devil races down to that tomb and stands there in front of that tomb. And then all of a sudden, 3 days after he'd been in that tomb, that stone was rolled away, and up from the grave he arose. Remember Genesis 3:15, you'll bruise the Savior's heel, but he'll crush your head. No doubt in my mind, the devil's standing there trying to block Jesus out that grave. Jesus walks, kicks him in the head, steps on it on the way out, rises again from the dead, up from the grave. He arose. Somebody said when Jesus died, he wrote the check for my salvation. Amen. Aren't you glad it's paid in full? You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to do good works. You don't have to be religious. Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Nothing can wash away our sins but the blood of Jesus. When he died, God wrote the check. But 3 days later, when he rose again, the check cleared the bank. Amen. He's alive. And here come the women looking for him. By the angel they're met with this invitation. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. You're looking for him? You ain't gonna find him. But at least you can look at the place where he was. Because the next best thing to seeing him in person is seeing the tomb and knowing he's not dead. Now, Mel Gibson tried. Hollywood will keep trying. Some people are trying to write books. They're trying to make movies. And people go to movies, they cry over a human being slaughtered. They laugh over comedy that mankind puts out, but they leave the theater the same way they went in. Today, I'm not asking us to get on a plane like some have and go back to Jerusalem, but through the pages of Scripture and the illuminating of the Holy Ghost of God, let's travel back to Jerusalem. Let's go to Golgotha. Let's see where he died. Beyond that cross is a grave. I want to travel back there. You don't believe he's alive? Look through Matthew. Look through Mark. Look through Luke. Look through John. If you don't believe he's alive, come see the place where the Lord lay. He ain't there. He's risen. Just as he said. I want us to come see it today. I want us to see what these women saw. I want to see what these others saw. Because I know if you'll see the place where the Lord lay, you'll never be the same. Come see the place. What happens when you see it? There's an awesome wonder. I said there's an awesome wonder. They came as it began to be dawn, just as the sun was starting to rise, like it was this morning when we had our sunrise service. And notice what the Bible says. Behold, there was a great earthquake. All of a sudden, something started shaking. I'll tell you, if you'll go back to that grave today, something will shake up inside of you. I've seen a lot of people come to church and never get shook up, but I've never seen anybody take a trip to Calvary and they didn't get shook up. I'll tell you, there are a lot of things in the movies that seem to shake us up, but nothing ought to shake you up like a trip back to the tomb. There was a sudden earthquake. There was a supernatural experience. All of a sudden, an angel. By the way, the devil's got his demons, but God's got his angels. The Bible said the angel of the Lord. I said the angel of the Lord. He was on a mission. There was a supernatural experience. Yes, there was an angel there. Oh my goodness. But guess what he saw? He saw that. Guess what that angel did? That angel moved that stone, rolled away the stone. There was a moved stone. There was a magnificent sight. By the way, they didn't move the stone to get Jesus out. The angel moved the stone so you could see he wasn't there anymore. Come to that tomb today. There was a sudden earthquake. There was a supernatural experience. There was a strong effect. All of those guarding the tomb fell out like dead men. Go to that tomb today. It'll have an effect on you. Amen. Amen. I've seen some of the hardest sinners take a trip to Calvary through the Scripture and get shook up like dead men. Amen. Amen. I thank God for songs and I enjoy them. I enjoy good singing. Thank God for plays and I enjoy them. Thank God for drama and I enjoy it. But I tell you, there's nothing like the Word of God. I said there's nothing like the word of God. You see the Bible. Oh, there'll be a sudden earthquake in your heart. There'll be a supernatural experience. There'll be a strong effect. And then there was a straightforward explanation. The angel said, fear ye not. I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Don't you be afraid. Don't you look anymore. Listen to me. There are critics. There are skeptics. There are heretics out there that tell you Jesus wasn't real. He wasn't the Son of God. He's just an imposter. He's a contemporary with other religious leaders. I want to tell you, take a look at that tomb today. He's not just anybody. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's solid evidence. He's not there. There was an awesome wonder. Secondly, though, there were actual witnesses. The Bible said they left from that place with fear and joy. Do you hear me now? I mean, there were some changed measures in these folks. I mean, they had gone to that tomb weeping and mourning, but they left there reverencing and rejoicing. Amen. Maybe you came this morning. You say, I got a lot on my mind. I got a lot I'm going through in my life. I got a lot of struggles that I don't know what to deal with. Hey, let me tell you something. You don't need a trip to the bank. You need a trip to the tomb. Amen. You need a trip to the shrink. You need a trip to the tomb. You don't need a trip to the lottery. You need a trip to the tomb. If you came here today weeping and wailing with a heavy heart, could I tell you, you go see that empty tomb. You'll leave there with reverence and rejoicing. There's nothing that cheers the heart in the life of a human being than to know that the Savior that died rose again. There were changed measures. There was a clear message. They were to go tell the disciples. There was a first-hand account. Don't tell them what you heard. Tell them what you saw. Amen. Go quickly. Verse 7. Tell his disciples he's risen from the dead. Tell them what you saw. Amen. That's why you can't get saved through your parents. Somebody help me preach. That's why, listen, somebody told me recently, they went to a church and went to a funeral, and the preacher said, I don't want to give an invitation at the funeral because I don't want to steal you from your church. Let me tell you something. Invitation is never to get you to church. It's to get you to Christ. Amen. God has plenty of children, but didn't have any grandchildren. You can't be born into God's family because your parents are saved. Let me tell you something. When you get saved, you got to go to Calvary for yourself. You got to know he died for your sins, that he was buried and rose again for your sin. You got to know that you've got to believe that he died, was buried, and he rose again. When those women left that tomb that day and they told those disciples what happened, they didn't say what they read in a book. They didn't say what they heard from somebody else. They didn't say what passed through the gossip line. They had been to that tomb. They had seen he wasn't there. Their lives had been changed. I'll tell you what the world needs. When you go back to work tomorrow, back to school tomorrow, back to your generation tomorrow, they don't need some Christians speaking from hearsay or some religious folks talking about what came through the grapevine. They need somebody who's been to the place where Jesus was that knows he's alive. First hand account. We saw it. Amen. And there was a faint hearted assembly of disciples. Weary. Somebody needs to hear from you that he's alive. Because people are looking for hope. Amen. They're trying to find it in government. Good luck. Good luck. You think you're going to find hope in what the government can give you? You think you're going to find hope in what the world can give you? You think you're going to find hope in what materialism can give you? Can I tell you, most men without Jesus Christ, all of them are miserable. But I'll tell you where there is hope. There's hope in that empty tomb to know that he's alive, that he rules and reigns, that they couldn't keep him in the grave. Listen, when you leave church on a Sunday, you leave church on a Wednesday, you leave your Bible reading on a morning, and you know that God's real, go tell somebody he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. There were actual witnesses. Thirdly, there was some automatic worship. some automatic worship. Go quickly and tell the disciples. And they did. And the Bible says that they told the disciples the word. In verse number 9, guess who showed up? Somebody say amen. Jesus showed up. There was a divine appearance. Hey, let me tell you something. You take a trip back to that empty tomb. Amen. You see that he's not there, that he's risen. You hang around that tomb and guess what you'll find out? Jesus shows up. Amen. I've been in churches where he didn't show up. I've been around preachers where he didn't show up. But I've never been in this word around the gospel message where Jesus didn't show up. I know we're living in dark days. I know there's shootings all the time. And there's hatred all the time. And there's bigotry all the time. And some people look at the news. They get so discouraged. They think God is dead. They think hope is lost. They think church is useless. They think religion is down the drain. But I'm here to tell you, you hang around this gospel story long enough, you're going to find out my Savior, despite the news, despite the statistics, despite the legislation, despite the immorality, idolatry, insanity, and insensitivity. I'm glad in 2018, Jesus is still showing up. There was a divine appearance. There was devoted adoration. They fell at his feet. That's why we need to stay near the cross. That's why we don't need to get away from this story. Because it's going back to what he did that keeps us at his feet. I'm telling you, people come to church every week, they shout, but they never fall down. And I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about spiritually. I've known some people that could sing from their gut. Amen. But they didn't know how to worship. Amen. The best singers in the building aren't necessarily the best worshipers. Don't get quiet, you'll be indicting yourself. Just because you can sing don't mean you worship. There are people singing on The Voice and singing on America's Got Talent and singing on American Idol. They're not worshiping. I'll tell you, worship has less to do with your melody and harmony and has everything to do with the fact that you're glad that he loved you and that he died for you and that he was buried and that he rose again. I don't need a choir. I don't need an organ. I don't need drums. I don't need a soundtrack. Just get me out to bed in the morning and remind me that you love me and that you died for me. I don't need the sound system on. I don't need the choir director waving his hands. I don't need the printed lyrics on paper. I'll tell you what I'll sing. When he saved me, he took me out the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock. He established my going. He put a song in my heart. I don't need the words. I don't need the beat. I don't need the soundtrack. I'm singing. I've been set free. You get to that cross today, he'll put a song in your heart. Is anybody falling down anymore? Are we here because it's Easter? Amen. Don't come for the holiday. Amen. Come for the one that's holy. The desperate assurance that he gave them. Be not afraid. Here's what he's saying. I'm alive, and it's okay to get up and do what you're supposed to do. I got you covered. Be not afraid. Go tell everybody else you saw me. And tell them I want to see them too. Amen. Automatic worship. Number 4. Anxious wrongdoers. Now watch this now. Jesus, he knew those women were looking for him. He sent an angel to tell him he's not here. He told the angels to be the women to be witnesses and tell the disciples he's not there. He showed up to the disciples to show them I'm not there, I'm here. But meanwhile, soldiers, the ones that had killed him, laughed at him, mocked him, whipped him, those ones, they get nervous. Nervous why? Because of their foolish disbelief. Today is April Fool's Day. The only fool is the one that doesn't believe Jesus died, was buried, rose again. Let me say that for the record. You say, I don't like pranks. Well, you must not like the devil, because he's trying to prank you every day. Amen. Foolish disbelief. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. They didn't believe he was real. Huh? I'm talking about the thief on the cross that said, if you be the Son of God, come down. I'm talking about those that were mocking him. I'm talking about those that gambled over his clothes. But you know who else I'm talking about? I'm talking about those sitting in the building today that think Easter's about a bunny and about money and about an outfit, that think Easter's about going out to eat. Amen. You're going to go out to eat at a restaurant in a few hours, but a few hours later, you're going to be hungry again. Could I tell you, there's somebody to feed you. You eat of him, you'll never be hungry again. He's the bread of life. You're going to drink something at that restaurant today, and you're going to ask for a refill, but you take a drink of the living water and you'll never thirst again. His name is Jesus, and I love him. Foolish disbelief, which led them to frantic disarray. Uh-oh. We got problems. Now watch this now. For the believer, the empty tomb is triumph. For the unbeliever, the empty tomb is a threat. Because we got to come up with some way to explain where he is. Huh? Could I give you the answer to an explanation as to where Jesus is? Religion. Huh? Here's what they said. Let's tell everybody the disciples stole his body and they can't find it. And notice what the scripture says. That's been a little tradition all the way until this day. There's still people trying to say that the body, if you say, Pastor, do they really believe? No. They're saying that because they have no other explanation. Watch it now. You got to believe he got up, or you got to believe somebody took him. Amen. Foolish disbelief always leads to frantic disarray. That's why they got to come up with a Quran. That's why they got to come up with some pope that you pray to get your sins forgiven. That's why they come up with baptismal water. You don't need baptismal water to save you when you got the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You don't need good works to save you when you got grace. You don't need religion when you got righteousness. You don't need tradition when you got truth. You don't need family when you got faith. Amen. You don't need rituals when you got relationship. I want to tell you, there was foolish disbelief. There was frantic disarray. And there was a false description. And let me tell you something. People all around the world today are trying to tell you, if you believe in this person, if you pray five times here, if you worship the devil, if you speak in this tongue, if you go to this place, if your good outweighs your bad, I'll tell you what that is. Those are false descriptions that will try to speak away the truth of the matters. There's salvation in none other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Somebody said, I don't like your preaching. You make salvation too simple. There are a lot of complicated things in life, but salvation is not physics. Amen. It's not thermodynamics. Salvation doesn't require a PhD or a 4.0. Here it is. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again according to the scriptures. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm not apologizing for making salvation simple. There was no other way for me to be saved except through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There wasn't a rose red enough, wasn't a lamb white enough, wasn't a man good enough. Scarcely for a righteous man some would die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God committed his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Neither is there salvation in none other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I've given them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I wish I could tell you that going down the road and worshiping some other God would get you into heaven. But God's got a way that you can't go over. God's got a way that you can't go under. God's got a way that you can't go around. You must come in at the door, and he's the door. He's the door. And if you won't accept him, come see the place. No wonder you coming up with all them other ways. That's the result of disbelief and denial. Frantic, anxious wrongdoers. And then lastly, I'll close. After the awesome wonder, the actual witnesses, the automatic worship, the anxious wrongdoers, Jesus showed up to those who had been affected by the place where he lay. And he gave them an authentic work. 11 disciples. One's gone. He was a devil. Sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. And by the way, this is not the message. But isn't it amazing that the world promised him happiness for selling out Jesus? And guess what he got out of it? Suicide. You keep eating off that silver platter that the devil feeds you, licking your lips. Not long after it goes down your esophagus, you start feeling indigestion. And ain't nothing like devilish acid reflux. Stuck all up in your chest and you can't breathe right. Changing your hair and changing your attitude and moving places and getting a new job. And some people don't even want to be the gender they were created. They're trying to find themselves. You'll never find you by looking for you. You'll find you by finding Jesus. He'll introduce you to you. All those fell off in the unnamed masses. But them 11, he showed up again. Guys, I'm alive. And I could have gone from the grave straight to heaven. But I stopped by to see you before I left because I got a job for you. And you ain't going to be no good at this job if you think I'm still dead. That's why you can't get far from the resurrection, because from the resurrection stems all the power that you need to live for God. I got an authentic work. Y'all seen where I was? Y'all seen I'm not there? Y'all seen I'm here? Come on now. The Bible says he sent them back to go to Galilee, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? And all of a sudden they went into the way into Galilee. In other words, they were some awaiting people. They were looking to hear from. That's what happens when you know Jesus is alive. You sit looking to hear what he has to say. I'm trying to close. Christian people who have drifted from resurrection power may come to church, but they don't come looking for nothing. You know why they were waiting for Jesus? Because they knew he wasn't dead. I don't get anything out of my Bible reading. I don't get anything out of church. I just feel like I'm just going through the motions and nothing ever happens in my life. You need to revisit the tomb, find out he's not there. And next time you open the Bible, sit there listening for him to say something. Because if he's alive, I reckon he can talk. You say, I've never heard him talk. Read your Bible. That's how he talks today. Well, you say, why did he talk audibly back then? They didn't have a Bible. Why'd they have prophets? They didn't have a Bible. But hath unto these days spoken unto us by his Son. All scriptures give my inspiration of God. You read the book of Peter and find out what Peter said. Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration. If you know your Bible, Matthew 17, he went up to that mountain and Jesus showed up. Jesus had already gone back to heaven. You understand me? I mean, Jesus hadn't gone to heaven yet, but Jesus was right there. God got on Jesus and a light shined on Jesus. And Peter said, we saw like we never had before and we wanted to stay there. And Moses and Elijah showed up and the light was so bright on Jesus, Peter had to fall down and worship God. And when he looked up, there was nobody there with Jesus. Peter said, wow, what a bright light. But you read the book of Peter and you find out long after Jesus had ascended into heaven, Peter said, that light was bright on that mountain, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, as bright as the light was there, we've got a brighter light that shines even than that light on the Mount Transfiguration. No, my friend, scripture came by private interpretation, but holy men of God, as they were moved by the Spirit. You say, we live in a dark world. The lights are going out. This is the light. Turn it on. They were waiting people. And here came an authoritative person. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Fellas, before I leave, let me tell you something. And before I tell you something, let me tell you I can. All power is given me in heaven and in earth. I don't care who sits in the White House, the power belongs to Jesus. And we respect governmental powers, but not at the expense of heavenly power. The authoritative person gave an adequate plan. Go ye. Amen. Amen. The plan was a mandate. Amen. And that mandate included a ministry. And that ministry is to evangelize sinners, to baptize saints, to catechize servants, and to mobilize soldiers. The mandate is not an option, it's a command. He says, if you know I'm real, go tell somebody about me. Amen. And when you tell them and they get saved, get them baptized after they're saved. Not to get saved, but because they're saved. And after they get baptized because they are saved and part of a local New Testament church, train them to go out and get somebody else. Adequate, adequate plan. By the way, able power in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the available presence. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He's dead. He's gone. By the way, remember Mary that anointed him with the alabaster box? A year's salary worth. She saved up and anointed him, and people around her thought, she wasted it. No, I ain't wasted. I came to anoint him. Amen. For his burial. Mary, why are you anointing him while he's alive? Because I don't plan to do it once he dies. She knew he was going to rise again. That's why in Matthew 28, you see Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Come on. You don't see that Mary that had anointed him. She ain't show up. She knew he was alive. She didn't come to that cross. She knew he was alive. Amen. Now I'm asking you. You stand today thinking about the Easter service and the Easter story. You say, preacher, I got a lot going on. I got a lot I'm dealing with. I got a lot I'm facing. Can I tell you what the angel said to those women that day? Come see the play. Come look for yourself. People say to me all the time, well, I don't believe the Bible. I don't really. I've read a lot of books in the Bible. I don't believe the Bible. I don't know. You know, I read a lot of good books. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe. If you have time, I could sit down and tell you how the Bible was translated and the meticulous process that the translators used to make sure it was kept intact, if you have time. If you have time, I could tell you how God took 40 men over 1,600 period time and produced a manuscript that's inspired, infallible, and inerrant. If you have time, I could explain to you that there's only one book that's altogether prophetic, preserved, perfect, probing, piercing, penetrating, profitable, precious, probing, potent, powerful, amen, and perfecting. That's the Bible. But if you don't have time to sit down with me, and I probably don't have time to go over an entire discourse on the translation of the Bible, do me a favor. Open it and read it from Genesis 1 all the way through to Revelation 22. And I guarantee you, without sitting down with me, it will convince you itself is real. One or two, three verses inside, it'll start reading you like your wife can't. It'll get up in your business and you'll be looking around there trying to find out who else is in the room. That's why the Hebrew said, it's alive. Amen. I thank God for the Bible. And around here, my recommendation is that you bring a written copy of the Bible with you so you can flip. Amen. Well, what's nothing wrong? Listen, I read on my phone every single day. When I come to church, I bring my written copy. Amen. I'm not preaching against anybody, but I'm just simply saying I've never had a text message pop up on my written copy of the Bible. Or a Facebook post. You trying to concentrate on my message and somebody texting you. Where you eating after service and you miss the main, listen to me, oftentimes what you miss is what you needed the most. I'm trying to shut this message down. Bring your written copy so you're not disturbed by them electronics. First letter is a L. Electronics. There's still something special about hearing them pages turn. Hearing them pages turn. Hey man, you need to learn how to find Ecclesiastes on your own. Find Habakkuk on your own. Amen. Learn the pages of scripture. There's something good about marking it in your mind and going back to it. When the devil comes along, you can open your Bible and know that the word of God is real and that it's able and that it's dependable. I thank God for drama. I thank God for recitation. I thank God for stage plays. But the most vivid trip you can have to Calvary today is through the word of God. Come and see. The place where the Lord lay. And by the way, for all you English scholars, which I'd like to kind of think I am, it's my favorite subject. Lie is present. Lay is past. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He ain't there no more. Well, I don't believe it. That's what they said. And they had to make up a lie to compensate for their lack of faith. Why you go through all that? Why don't you just believe? And if you go there, tell somebody about it. And when you tell somebody about it, look for him to show up. And when he shows up, remember, he's left us with a job to do. Amen. To reach every person in every place. With the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's got the power to accomplish it and the presence to accompany us. There are no excuses. Maybe what's left between you and doing his work is a trip to come and see. Our Father, help us. Help us, help us. If you're here today and you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven, would you raise your hand? Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. God bless you. Put your hand down. Now, I want every one of you that just raised your hand to listen to my question. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. But I need to take a trip back there. By the way, if you ever got saved, you don't have to get saved again. But there's a reason why the songwriter said, keep me near the cross. In other words, he's saying, don't let me get so far that I cannot see what flowed down for me at the foot of the cross. Take me back. Pastor, I'm going to heaven, but I need to go look again at that spot where he lay to be reminded what he did for me. With the help of the word of God, I want to come and see. If that's you all over the building, would you raise your hand? I need a refresher. My faith needs to be challenged, stirred. Put your hand down. Then lastly, let me ask you one question. How many say, Pastor, just please be honest with me. I'm not 100% sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Listen to the question. Pastor, I'm not 100% for sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand all over the building? Just slip it up long enough for me to see it. See your hand, young man. To my left, there was another hand. Thank you. Someone else, be honest. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today. Thank you, ma'am. To my right, God bless you. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I do not want to go to hell. Would you raise it up just long enough for me to see it? Someone else that didn't raise your hand. Thank you, young lady. Thank you there. God bless you, ma'am, in the back. God bless you. Amen. To my right, God bless you, children. God bless you. Someone else. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I do not want to go to hell. Pray for me up in the balcony. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Someone else. Yes, I see your hand up there. Yes, God bless you. Someone else. Come on, let's be honest. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Anyone else? Raise your hand. Let's stand together. Father, bless this invitation time and move in our midst. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Maybe it's just been a while since we've been to the spot. Maybe that's why we have no power. We have no consistency. Help us, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.